Welcome to the Odds Breakers, number one place for shared, sharp betting information.
Welcome back to Podcast 22 of 2024. I'm your host, Kiev O'Neill. You can follow me on Twitter at OBKiev. Follow us at The Odds Breakers. Follow us on social media /The Odds Breakers. This episode is being brought to you by BetMGM. $5 gets you $150 in free bets when you sign up on our link in our podcast description. All you guys in North Carolina now have more outs to get your plays in for the NCAA tournament. Terms, conditions, and location apply. If you'd like to support the Icebreakers and benefit from our premium plays, please visit theicebreakers.com, click shop, become a member, pick any for winning cappers, get their premium plays before the line moves, including myself. You can also support us on patreon.com. If nothing else, please visit the Icebreakers and become a free picks and Telegram subscriber. 3-0 last night. Was real happy about that. Not even a sweat because we hit the Iowa over 152.5, closed at 158. We hit the Georgia Xavier over 146.5. That closed really high. I'd have to recheck that. And that actually was on its way way over, and it slowed down at the end. And then Colorado State was an absolute no sweat for the frauds, Virginia, for the play-in tournament on Tuesday night. So that was wonderful. And you could be benefiting from those plays if you get my monthly subscription. You get all plays, $150, or just use the promo code just to get my basketball plays, $100 for the rest of college basketball going into April. So feel free to do that by checking us out at theoddsbreakers.com. Really appreciate the support to keep us going and keep us podcasting here at The Odds Breakers. But we have a great show for you today because Will Hill from VSiN and the Gold Boys Discord is back to break down the NCAA tournament games focused on Friday. We'll also talk about a little bit of Thursday as well. Can't wait to talk to Will. But before Will closes up, I have to talk about our wonderful free contest over at CBS Sports. Just click on the link here in this podcast description. We're giving away $500 like we always do to our winners in the NCAA Tournament Challenge sponsored by the Odds Breakers. You get up to two brackets. All you need to do is retweet the pod or write a five-star review. Send a screenshot over to info@theoddsbreakers.com. And if that's not enough, we have a partnership with The Season where you can win over $40,000 in prizes from their amazing group of five contests, an upset bracket that we are sponsoring. Pick a seed that's possibly going to make an upset, and you get the points difference from that seed. For example, a 16 minus a 1 gives you 15 points. That would be amazing. Or a 15 minus a 2, go from there. You get bonused for getting those seeds farther and farther as the tournament. We also have a survivor bracket that we're doing. Just check out the link in this podcast description or www.theszn.com/OB. Well, my friends, we have our brackets, and I have a final four. And I'm going to give that to you real quick. I am going with UConn. They're my best team all year. Why would I fade from them coming out of the East? Then I am going down to the West where North Carolina has the easiest route, so I'm just going to give it to North Carolina there. Then I have to go with Wisconsin in the South. I think the South's a total mess. It wouldn't shock me if anything comes out of that region. Marquette's a little bit banged up. Wisconsin beat Marquette this year. Houston can't shoot the ball well. That's kind of a little bit of a weird one. See, Kentucky is yin and yang. And then Tennessee, I went with because this is the best Vols team I've seen in the Rick Barnes era. So I think they're at number, the fourth one in the Midwest quadrant. So UConn, North Carolina, Wisconsin, and Tennessee. UConn versus Tennessee in the finals, and UConn winning it all for the repeat, first repeat since 2007-2008, Florida Gators. So that's how I'm going to do it. But let's check out with Will, see what he wants to do with his brackets and get into these wonderful games. Without further ado, from VSiN and the Gold Boys Discord, Mr. Will Hill. This segment was brought to you by AG1. Why take a bunch of different things when you can just mix one scoop of powder and water once a day? Every scoop is packed with 75 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and whole food source ingredients of high quality that give me major benefits like gut and mood support, boosted energy, and even healthier looking skin, hair, and nails. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/oddsbreakers or click on our podcast episode description. Now I'm very excited to welcome back last year's Final Four champion and good friend of the show, Mr. Will Hill from Bear Bets VSiN and the Gold Boys Discord. You can follow Will on Twitter at @NotTheWillHill. Will, thanks for coming back on the show, my man. Here we are, knee deep in brackets. You've probably already done a million shows. How you doing?
What's going on? Excited to get these games going. I'm curious what you think. If you missed the days when we got the bracket on Sunday and there was no playing, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you get a little bored, you let the anticipation build, and then Thursday, it was just the best to get it. Now you get a little taste with the playing games, which like I'll always take the games instead of not having the games, but I do kind of miss back when it's almost like going to a restaurant and having to wait for the table. It makes you want it a little more, but we get a little taste with the playing games and excited to go full tilt on Thursday. I always consider Thursday the start of the tournament. These playing games are just that. This is not part of the tournament. Tournament is Thursday at noon, a little bit after.
I 100% agree. I am against the playing games, to be honest with you, because I like the just round of 64. The more cuter they get, the more they think they can get make it even worse. You know, I mean, you hear all these rumors and everything, and I just hope that they don't let money destroy a good thing like they're doing in other sports. I will say thank you for putting Virginia up to Colorado State because, you know, they gave us some easy money last night. So, you know, I mean, it's so funny. We have problems with the committee and things they do, but hey, they gave us a layup right there. So I was pretty cool about that. But man, what an embarrassment for them, huh?
Committee got what they deserved. It's just very rarely do people agree on anything. And this is one where this was pretty uniform. Nobody wanted to see Virginia. Nobody thought they were going to win. Nobody liked this team. Eye test, metrics, there was nothing to like. This was uniform. Formally just detested this selection where you had St. John's who just took UConn nose to nose and played them tough three times. I mean, Virginia was never capable of playing UConn tough like that. And Indiana State, who's fun and different. Instead of that, they went with this Virginia team who we all know stunk, and the committee really got egg on their face last night. They completely got what they deserve. So I was happy for that. And we had Colorado State. I think you gave it out on my show. Open -118, went all the way up to three. And sometimes you'll hear people say this, oh, everybody's on this team, so I'm going to bet against them. That's a dangerous way to go because everyone's on Colorado State last night. And look, it got home. And I just think, you know what? There was nothing on paper. There was nothing to like about Virginia other than, hey, everyone's picking against them. So that can be dangerous sometimes. Hey, I'm just going to pick this team because everybody else is picking against them.
Wonderful point, man. I mean, the public, we say they're right 45% of the time. I mean, that's still a lot. You know, of course, you're losing VIG and stuff like that. But the truth is like just because they like it doesn't mean it's wrong. That's great. You need
more. And I think there's a myth, too, that just because the public's on it, that means there's no sharp money. It's like sometimes the sharps in public can be on both. Sometimes sharps are on it's not like this divide that people make it out to be like, oh, sharps are on one side. This, even you get any NFL game, and I'm sure bookmakers will tell you the same thing. I've heard them say this. There's sharps on both sides of every game. Like, no, it's not just this one club. Yeah. I think people make it out to be like, once you're in the sharp club, you're only picking this, you're only picking that. It's like, you know what, there's respected opinions on both. But I think last night was a case where it was hard to see a case for Virginia.
Oh, absolutely. You know, so some of the sharpest guys I know out there in Vegas will they use 30 books, and literally they're just trying to middle a lot of stuff, man. And and they're actually squeezing juice down. There's all kinds of ways of doing it. Now I can't sit in front of a computer for 16 to 18 hours a day like they do, but to be honest with you, you know, I try to do as much as I can and get as much information as I can. But that's a great point. You got to check boxes. If the public's on something, you dig into it, and if there's boxes that would agree with what you want to talk about, you know, I think it's something you really got to look at and understand that they could be right. And I think that's an amazing point. But anyways, here we are. A little quick delay in the internet. I have to ask you, Will, you were the immortal Will Hill. You were immortalized with FAU going into the Final Four. This is a great call. I think you called it on this show too. But now, obviously, I have to ask you, who do you have in your Final Four for 2024?
Yeah, it was great. It was one of the great experiences, not just to cash that ticket, but to you know, get all the feedback and people sending you tickets. Hey, I tailed your pick. That always feels good, and all the praise you get.
Yeah,
the you have to pay the piper the next year because now everybody expects it. Everyone's asking me, you know, who's this year, and you're going to feel like you let people down if you don't come up with it. I went with UConn. I went with Creighton. I went with Kentucky. I was so tempted to pick Florida. I actually picked Florida and crossed them off. Maybe I'll jump back in and just, hey, as little insurance, I'll throw something on Florida because I do like that team. That injury just scared it away. So UConn, Creighton, Kentucky. And my big upset, my big sleeper is Mississippi State. I think the West is weak. I think UNC is like ninth in KenPom, so they're not really a one seed. They're more like a three dressed up as a one. And Mississippi State, I do think it's similar to the Memphis FAU game last year. It's like, man, this is a tough first-round game, but if they get past it, things can open up. I think Mississippi State would match up well with Carolina. I just love that perimeter defense. They're long. They're athletic. They got a good point guard in Hubbard. I like this Mississippi State team. I like the bracket. So UConn, Creighton, Mississippi State, and Kentucky, two Big East, two SEC. And then ultimately, I have UConn and Creighton playing for the third time this season and UConn going back-to-back.
All right, my man. You ain't too different from me. You know, what's funny, I actually like Michigan State a little bit in the first game, but the truth is, if they whoever gets to Carolina, I like Mississippi State the way they match up against Carolina more than Michigan State, just from a game to game and the speed of play and the way Mississippi State's tall down low and pack line and all that. I think Mississippi State would be a very tough out for North Carolina. So, and that's kind of like, I guess, the theory why you do fill out more brackets, because, you know, I'm inclined to have North Carolina beat Michigan State every time, but I'm not inclined to have North Carolina beat Mississippi State every time. So interesting way of looking at it. And yeah, you're going to need some luck, obviously, picking some outliers to get in. And so that's a great call. But, you know, I'm not too different. I have UConn, North Carolina, just the ones on one side. And believe it or not, I fell on Wisconsin and I hate it. I feel like a homer. But the South is a mess. It's a total mess. And maybe Houston, maybe that loss did something great for them. Maybe they actually come through because of it. I don't know. But I have, like, problems with everybody. It's Houston's shooting. I think the pressure is on Houston, too. I have a problem with Duke and Filipowski that when he gets banged up down low, he tends to weaken a little bit. I have a problem with Kentucky and their inconsistency and that terrible defense. I have a problem with Marquette and the injury with Kolek. We're not hearing anything about it. Hey, if I'm Shaka Smart, I'm not saying anything either. I might even pretend the dude's more injured than he was, right? So I understand everything. But Wisconsin beat Marquette in December, and they beat him good. And they always beat Marquette because somehow Greg Gard understands how to match up against Shaka Smart. And if it's them two in the Elite Eight, I would bet Wisconsin. It just, if Wisconsin faces Kentucky in the Elite Eight, I'm betting Kentucky. It's just kind of the way it is. So I fell on Wisconsin, but nothing would surprise me there. And I hate that I had to pick Tennessee, but I'm glad that the committee put Purdue with Tennessee. I think that was one of the few right things they did. I know I gave them a BB+ when I talked to you before, but that was a half an hour after it came out. I kind of brought it down to a C. Couple other things the committee did well was not make too many home court advantages for the smaller teams, but I have Tennessee beating Purdue, and because Connect, I think, is a good offense. I think this is the best offense we've seen from Tennessee in all these years. So even though I don't like the coach, sometimes talent just gets them there. I have UConn versus Tennessee in the finals, and UConn to win it all, Will.
Boy, it's a bunch of us are picking UConn. Doesn't mean it won't happen, but my concern with my pick and my concern with our UConn pick, just they mowed through the tournament last year. I just worry the form, like kind of the due factor, like they're due for just a bad night where the threes don't fall or somebody else gets hot for three. It does concern me the factor of, hey, they're just somebody's going to have an off night for UConn, and eventually they just get knocked out and they get bit in a single elimination format. But in terms of basketball, man, there are no dominant teams like there were when we were growing up, when you had these NBA players who became, you know, juniors, seniors. It's not that level of team, but they're pretty close, man. They're well-rounded. They got size. They can shoot. They got the coach and Hurley. They got the experience. It's hard to knock them. It's really hard to look at this UConn team and say, oh, that's their weakness. They really don't have many, if any.
Well, when we were kids, Victor Wembanyama would have been on one of these teams.
I know.
And Chet Holmgren would have played for 2 or 3 years. You know, it was way different right. back then. And I miss those days. Don't get me wrong. I miss those days. Still love college basketball. But, you know, those are definitely different times. But, yeah. You know, I mean, what I say about the East is absolutely it's the hardest bracket. But guess what? We don't know what's going to happen. What if Auburn slips up to UAB or San Diego State, you know?
Or
what
Yale.
Absolutely. You know, what if Iowa State has a bad shooting game against Drake, you know, or even their first game is a little suspect, you know. I mean, it doesn't have to be the worst bracket for UConn if a few of these bigger seeds fall. And all of a sudden, it could be the best bracket for them. So best quadrant, we don't know that. So that's what I always say. Everyone's got to play to win these games. And God bless March, because this is the funnest time of year, and I cannot wait to see some of these outcomes. But why don't I ask you this? Who you got some for your early upsets? Any Cinderella type Sweet 16s that you like, or any 5-12, 4-13 type situations?
I mentioned Yale. I think Yale could keep it close. They defend, they rebound, they can make enough threes. I think these Ivy teams, they're smart and they know where their weaknesses are. They know where their strengths are. And I think if you can make Auburn, you can slow them down, make them play a half court game. You can maybe frustrate them. Auburn shot the three pretty well the last month or so, like 40% from three. I don't know that Auburn's this great shooting team where that's sustainable. So we've seen these Ivy teams do well in the tournament. Princeton not only beat Arizona, but buried Missouri last year to get to a Sweet 16. Yale, boy, was it 8 years ago now? Beat Baylor. Hard to believe that's 8 years ago. But these Ivies have been competitive in the tournament. So like, Yale sticking around and pulling off an upset wouldn't shock me. Morehead against Illinois is interesting because Morehead has had a ton of rest. And it's funny, I had you on my podcast the other day, and I was betting Morehead, and it was plus 13.5. You're like, oh, it took down to 13. Well, it's kept ticking. It's 11.5 now. So that number's long gone. But look, Morehead, I think they were the first team to clinch a berth, basically. Feels like a month ago, but it was 2 weeks ago. And Illinois, 3 games in 3 days. I always like fading these teams that won their conference tournament. Feels like there's a little bit of a letdown, maybe some fatigue. So Morehead sticking around, Yale sticking around. I think Vermont can hang around Duke. They're going to have to hit some shots. To me, that's a good under game where, like, Vermont, again, they have the components, and that's what you're looking for. You're looking for a formula, some components, some characteristics to pull an upset. Play slow, play good defense, don't turn it over, things like that. Vermont checks all those boxes. They just can't shoot, so you're worried they have one of those droughts where they go 5-6 minutes without being able to score, and Duke just pulls away. So maybe if you like Vermont in the first half, or maybe just play the under. But Duke, I'm sorry, Vermont, Morehead, Yale, those are three that are on my radar.
For sure. I there's no disagreement from me. I like Charleston. I think that Alabama's so hit and miss, that could happen. Sure. I think Charleston, the fact that they made it last year and almost won, kind of gives them a mental hurdle that they possibly can get over here. And Alabama knows that they lost their guys to the NBA, and that's another team that would have been stacked this year if obviously they didn't lose their guys to the NBA, right?
Right.
So they're going to have to keep reloading. And I actually have Grand Canyon as my 12-5 upset. I think, and you know, you can say, oh, that's the most popular one. I don't know what the most popular one's going to be. I would love to see those numbers, Will. So if you get them, please send them to me. But I think that, you know, the Wisconsin, James Madison and Grand Canyon will be popular, but St. Mary's play so slow. They play slow, and I watched them against Gonzaga the last game too. They play slow, hit the final shot after you know, the shot clock's almost wearing out. Now, if you're playing slow and you're not hitting the final shot, and the other team's getting up, you're out of the game a little bit. You're thinking to yourself, well, I need to speed up my game a little bit. Well, GCU can keep going sometimes, and I'm not sure if I like the fact that St. Mary's plays a slower game against GCU. I think GCU is more inclined to lose to a team that's got talent and can run them out of the gym. So don't get me wrong, it can lose this, but I think GCU could be live in this situation. So I got GCU there, and believe it or not, I kind of like either Drake or South Dakota State to sneak into the Sweet 16. Not sure which one. Now, South Dakota State's the much bigger dog here at 30-1, but I sprinkled a little bit on them to make it to the Sweet 16 at 30-1 for a quarter unit. And I did GCU at 6-1, which is not as good as the money line rollover. I suspect that they're going to play the bigger game against Bama. But if not, you know, then 6-1 money line rollover would be better. So I'm going with GCU to the Sweet 16. Is there any props that you played to in this tournament?
Didn't get into any of the Sweet 16 yet. Again, I think you do get better bang for your buck with the money line rollover. So I haven't dove into those. I did take Mississippi State in 25-1 to make the Final Four. That's one that I like. Again, you get a better number rolling it over. Yes, maybe I'll do both as a little experiment to to see what the better number is. I mean, you would have thought last year FAU, hey, just do the money line rollover. Except you get that 1 in a million shot with Purdue losing, and then all of a sudden that 40-1, you're never going to get that on the money line rollover because they're 15-point favorites to Fairleigh Dickinson in round two. So Mississippi State's the one I like. Like, would I be shocked if McNeese is in the Sweet 16? I'd be interested to see a number on that. I wouldn't be. Drake, I think, is a good one. It's funny. You mentioned Drake, Washington State, how you like the winner, but you didn't know who to pick. To me, that's a common theme of this tournament. I came across that a lot. Grand Canyon, St. Mary's, Nebraska, A&M. Yeah, I feel like, and Alan Boston's pointed this out. He says the committee does this where they match up these teams that are underrated, mid-majors, bad for ratings, and they have one of them knock the other off to protect their blue bloods. I think we saw a lot of that.
I think Alan Boston's completely right about this. I mean, the networks – and you see this in baseball. Baseball wants the big teams in the finals, but it's a lot easier, for basketball to be set up that way than baseball. You want your blue chips there. The big fans of Duke, the big fans of Kansas, the big fans of UCLA even. These types of teams just make more money. Of course, the whole university history of Grand Canyon would be at the Final Four and hoping for them, but it's still a much smaller population than anybody else. And I guess if somebody's watching that Final Four game and they're down by 20 points in the towards the end of the first half, they're going to turn it off, So
right.
that's another worry for the networks. And Alan Boston knows it. It's all about money, and I agree with them. But I still can root for him now. I mean, either St. Mary's or GCU, whoever's winning this, I hope goes far, just for my fan perspective, right?
Yep, it's a good point, and I think you're 100% right where they worry about the blowout. I mean, like, St. Peter's is a great story until they get to the Elite Eight and North Carolina's up, 30-2, and the game is over 5 minutes in. And I think the ratings reflect it, too, where it's like people say and act like they root for Cinderella, but the ratings usually don't respect it. Like, the ratings are usually better when it is the Blue Bloods, which might be a little counterintuitive because you think, oh, this team, the underdog made a run. Well, the general people don't like to the general audience doesn't really like the Cinderella. The people flock to the big team. So I guess there's a reason for it, but it doesn't mean we have to like it.
Absolutely. It's funny. I took a couple props. I took the buzzer beater prop at +280 at DraftKings just for like a half unit.
Is that yes?
It's a yes, baby. Absolutely. You kidding me? I'm going to feel like a Mr. Public on this one. I don't care. I'm a fan as well of basketball. It's a half a unit, I am going to be cheering for it. And it doesn't say you don't have to be tied. You can be tied in hitting this buzzer beater, right? It didn't say that you have to be down. So,
No, that would count. If you're tied and you hit, it's got to be a game-winning shot at the buzzer. Now, you can have your little heart broken over there if it's like .2 back on the clock and they go review it, which, let's face it, college basketball, they basically review everything from the opening tip till the final buzzer. Everything's getting looked at for 5 minutes, which is, by the way, a major, major problem with the flow of the sport, the pace of play. It's a major issue with the length of these reviews. But that's a fun one. I mean, that is a fun one. I'd have to go back and, break down the numbers and say, hey, is that a good bet or a bad bet? That's certainly fun to root for. You have action in every game. I got to check mine, see if that's offered to me. Maybe I'll tail that with you.
All right. Well, you know what's also interesting? When you check it, you can't look at all games. You have to look at just tournament games because I feel like these tournament games can be always closer. I think I'm kind of hoping the books, and I don't have the data to check it. I can probably have it done, or if you can, that'd be great. But I just think that maybe the books just looked at all college basketball games and the frequency of that happening, and it's definitely probably not +280, but maybe first round of the tournament it is. So that's something to think about too. I also bet Mountain West wins under 5.5, and I laid -140. I'm going to go back to it, man. I know San Diego State blew it up last year, but it's funny. We Mountain West got six teams in, but everyone's complaining about the seeds. Well, maybe that works in my favor, if they're all a bunch of high seeds playing tougher teams. So I'm going to go with that one. I think the only ones that scare me in the Mountain West are New Mexico and Colorado State anyway. So I'm going to go with that one. And I laid a little juice on that. And believe it or not, I took a little bit on Big 12 team total wins under 12 and a half, and I got plus 120. And maybe you can find a 13 or 13 and a half and get it a little bit better than that. Maybe they land on 13. I don't know. But one thing about the Big 12, we have to remember, Kansas doesn't have McCullough now. And they're a four seed, so they're not really a four seed. They can get bounced pretty quickly here. We have to remember that Iowa State was the tournament winner. They have a little interesting side. Maybe they only win two games. You also have TCU in a pick'em against Utah State, roughly a pick'em. They're a little bit favored. I disagree with that. And then you have a Houston team that has a lot of trouble shooting. So earlier in the season, I thought the Big 12 might have been the best conference, but kind of here at the end, I like SEC, the top of the Big East. I like a couple Big Ten darlings here. I think the Big 12 is not quite as good as I thought. So plus money under 12 and a half, why not?
And there's a little pressure, I think, on the Mountain West, too. They're getting a lot of not heat, but they're under a microscope a little bit where people say, wait a second, the Mountain West, which has been bad in the tournament, San Diego State run aside, they got six teams in the Big East, the big bad Big East. Number two in Kempom only got three. So I wonder if there's a little pressure on these Mountain West teams. I'm looking, though, trying to find these at DraftKings. I don't know if it's a Connecticut thing, but I can't find any of these props. I don't know. It's interesting, too. They had futures up, which they don't have all year in Connecticut. Why, I have no idea. But they were up before the tournament, but as soon as the tournament started, they pulled them down. So I don't know. Sounds like you have a little bit more of a menu than I do, which I'm not happy about.
Well, you can always shoot me a message after the show, buddy. We'll talk. There is, it's up there, so it's a Connecticut thing, and a lot of states have different issues. I almost think that it's like just being a sports book and managing this crap can't be easy on them either. So that's kind of weird.
Well, I've heard in New York you can't bet awards for, like, you know, the MLB, NFL, NBA, like the MVP, stuff like that, which, again, I don't know the rhyme or reason for this. It's very strange.
Yes, yes. And it's under madness props, under conference wins is where this is located, those props. So if you don't have it, we'll talk. Let's get to some games, though, because we're going to focus a little on Friday, being yesterday's show was about Thursday. But we can also talk about Thursday if we have time at the end. Let's get into the Friday games right away. And we're going to start with Northwestern against the Florida Atlantic. You know, it's funny. It's minus 2.5. The total is 142. I find it so interesting that FAU made the tournament, much less, you know, now they're it's not like they're terrible on some of the efficiency sites. They're number 40th, but the Owls, I think, didn't deserve it. But here we are. This is the team that made you money. Are you fading them this year? How do you think about this matchup with Northwestern?
I'm not sure if Florida Atlantic has just been bored all year. It's a little bit of a hangover after being a second away from playing for the national title, going to a Final Four. But I think they've been overrated all year. I don't love the Northwestern team either. I feel like they're due for some regression. So this is really a toss-up game. It's up to 3, I'm seeing. It's circa. When in doubt, take the points. I think this is a coin flip game. I don't know what version of Florida Atlantic we're getting. I'll take the points here. Not a game I feel great about. How about you?
This is one I'm going to hope to rely on the public and move this up to 3. And if it doesn't happen, I don't have to play it. But I wish Northwestern had Matthew Nicholson and Ty Berry in.
Right.
It says Nicholson sidelined, and I don't know if they said he's out yet. Maybe he is. But I'll be seeing if I can get any news on it. Usually you don't, but sometimes you see these guys that are supposed to be out and they'll just pop back in the and you're like, whoa, we thought he was out, you know, and the coach was kind of quiet about it. You get a lot of shenanigans like that. But I think Boo Booey is a fantastic point guard, and he's been balling out for this Northwestern Wildcats team, and I feel like the pressure is more now on FAU than Northwestern. So I think that this should be closer to pick 'em, and I lean Northwestern at 2.5. So if we get a 3 here, Will, I'd be all over Northwestern. And you know what? It's the early game.
Yeah, I'm seeing one at Circa. I'm seeing one at Circa, but they're not widely available. I don't know if you have access to Circa, but there is one out there. So yeah, didn't this open up as Northwestern minus a couple points? Have we seen like a 5-point line move?
Yeah, it was. Oh God, I have to look back at the my numbers here on Action and Sports Insights, but I think it was. It's not. I can't open it right now. I'll get back to that one. But I thought there was a line move based into it. But for as far as totals, I'm still focusing on first half unders, especially in the first two rounds, because of four reasons. Number one, offense is very nervous coming into a do or die sure. situation. Defense travels is number two. Neutral court setting where neither team is used to it is number three. And number four is the officials are nervous. They're not blowing. They don't want to make the game a part of, about them in the beginning anyway. And they're not going to blow a lot of whistles early. So those are four good reasons for first half unders. And I still think they're live, Will.
Yep, I agree. Especially if, if we could get Virginia to clone themselves and continue through this tournament, they'd be really good, because Virginia is just was an under machine. That first half of Wagner Howard too, it was looking like a dead nut under. I was looking at the live total. I got under 60, and at one point it was like 52.5, 53.5.
Yeah.
And then boom, they had a late spurt at some point too. I was more tracking on my phone, but yeah, when in doubt, go with the unders. I think they're low, but probably not low enough. So I'm with you, especially early in the day. You know, those buildings can be half empty. There's not a lot of juice in the stands. I feel like that helps the defense too. So I'm totally with you.
Okay, good stuff. So on 3/17, March 17, 2024, it was +1.5, and now it's +2.5. So this one, according to Action here, was only a 1-point move. Let's move to the next game, and we have Colgate versus Baylor. Baylor's about -14, total 138.5. Will, you pick this one. What do you got going on for Baylor?
I like Baylor here. I don't like laying points in this tournament, but I think it's important to just spot some of the mismatches. And to me, this is one of them. This is going to be a major mismatch in terms of the athleticism. This line has gotten bet up. I think there were some 11.5, some 12s. We've seen a couple points move. I've even seen some 14s pop up. People are going to see Colgate and maybe think, you know what, this is a team. They've been in the tournament a lot. They've hung in these games, whether it was against Arkansas. I think there was a game against Wisconsin a couple years ago. Texas, they were somewhat competitive. Those Colgate offenses were elite. Those Colgate offenses could play with anybody. It's just their athleticism didn't allow them to win those games. This year, they still have the same lack of athleticism, but they don't have the offense. This is like they're in the 200s in terms of offensive efficiency. Baylor's just going to kill them on the glass. Baylor's just going to run them off the floor. So I think Baylor wins this game by 20-plus points. I don't think this is close. It's interesting. I think some of these lower seeds, 14, 15, 16, are a little weaker. I think some of the conference regular season champs getting knocked off has just made – I don't know, the bottom of the bracket a little softer. I don't know if you felt that and if your numbers agree with that, but to me, Baylor rolls here.
You know, it's funny. I'm going to get into some of those games where that I feel soft. I'm not so sure about this one because I'm going to slightly disagree to the first half. And the reason that is because Colgate will launch threes. They're not the greatest. They're not the team that they were shooting threes in the past, but I think that could be enough to cover the first half of about +8. And I think Baylor sometimes starts slow, and it takes them a while to kind of put the pedal to the metal, you know. I saw that against Michigan State when they played on a neutral court before. They lost to Duke on a neutral floor as well. This is not necessarily one I key in that. I actually do like Baylor on this bracket, by the way, because they're in the easiest one. So I think a 3 seed certainly could make it all the way. But I think that Colgate could do enough to cover the 8 points. But I'm scared. I'm more scared about the full game. So just a little slight disagreement with me. I do like your sentiment, though, for sure, on some of the other spreads. And maybe we'll hit on some of those. Let's go to the next game. New Mexico versus Clemson. Clemson +2, total 152. Have you got a chance to look at this one?
Yeah, I would go New Mexico here. And again, this shows with the incompetence of the committee where you have an 11 in New Mexico that's favored, and then you have an 11 in Duquesne who's like a double-digit underdog. So just completely ridiculous. What would New Mexico Duquesne be on a neutral court? New Mexico would probably be laying double digits, and here they are on the same seed line. Just complete laziness, complete incompetence. There's a line in Casino where De Niro fires the guy after somebody hits two jackpots. He says, "You're either in on it or you're too dumb to figure it out. Either way, you're fired." That's how I feel about the committee. But I
love it.
I like New Mexico here. I just think it's an interesting contrast where New Mexico really plays through their guards. Clemson's more of a big-oriented team. When in doubt, I'll go with the guard play. So fun game. Interesting in terms of the 11 being favored over the 6. That was a troubling performance by Clemson in the conference tournament where they got run off the floor. So I'm going to go with New Mexico. I like this team. I like Patino. I think Brownell has been a sneaky, bad tournament coach, whether it's conference tournaments, NCAA tournaments. He has not shown well here, the Clemson coach. So I'll go with little Patino here. Even though Dad couldn't get in, I'll go with little Patino here to win a game at least.
You know, I'm undecided on this one. New Mexico shows some advantages for sure here, but I'm kind of going with it's hard for me. And the reason it is because my whole mantra this year is fading conference tournament winners. And I could be completely wrong on it, but why would I almost like say think to myself, do I do that for everybody or do I just pick mine and maybe it goes so bad where I pick the wrong ones, you know? So I just figure, right. I didn't bet Clemson. I'm just kind of thinking like, who do I pick in my bracket right now, right? And I can see some advantages for New Mexico here, but you wonder what happened to Clemson because Clemson, I thought, kind of started out the season a lot better than they really finished the season. You know, they went on a run where they only had one loss all the way up till January, and then it kind of just crumbled on. I mean, they beat Bama. They beat Boise State. They beat Pittsburgh. They beat South Carolina. They beat TCU. They had a pretty good non-conference going on there, and then they kind of just blew it. I think someone was hurt there maybe for a little while, too. I'll have to relook at that. But, you know, that's an interesting thought. I did bet the under in the Mountain West, so, I mean, this would hurt me a little bit if they win, so we'll see what happens. Are you betting New Mexico or are you just picking them?
Haven't bet it yet. Not sure I will. I mean, you got to be careful too. I mean, betting, especially like I like to live bet a lot. You got to be careful. Bankroll management. We're like, yeah. I know there's an enthusiasm and I've made this mistake plenty of times where there's an enthusiasm for this tournament, for these games. I'm going to bet this team in that game. It's like, you know what? Don't overdo it. There's plenty of opportunities to bet. There's plenty of games to bet. Just because it's a tournament doesn't mean you have to like overbet your bankroll or something where you're sitting there sweating all these games out. So I'll let the board come to me here. I mean, if I had to bet it, I would take New Mexico, but I don't have to bet it. So it is a game that interests me. I do think New Mexico is going to win. It's just I'm trying to be a little more careful picking my spots here.
That's a great point because you know what? If you're on the fence, right. No, there's no problem with not laying juice on something. It's not like the books are giving you plus 110 to make bets.
Exactly.
You know, it's like if it moves the way you kind of want it to, yeah. But if not, just forget about that. You can bet a first half or a second half instead for the same amount of money. There's absolutely no reason to. So I love the fact that you said that. I think bankroll management, I enjoy games when I don't have money on them a lot. You know, I don't need to have money on them. Sometimes when I have money on the game, I watch the game that I don't have money on, you know, so I can learn something for the next one. So that's a great point, man. But moving on, Vermont versus Duke, and Duke is laying minus 12. Total on this baby is 152. What do you have for the Dukies, man? Are they good enough to get past Vermont? And I don't know. We'll see.
I would love to bet that 152 because I do believe that's a typo and that's 132 for the total. And I still like the under there.
I typoed it. Yes. And I also meant, can Vermont beat the Dukies? Of course, Duke's the big favorite.
Oh, you're lucky you're not one of these sports books, man. I'd come up and I'd max that sucker against you, and I'd make you squirrel a little. I like the under 132. I just think, and there might be a 132.5 out there. I just think Vermont has everything to keep this game close. They are going to play good defense. They are a really good defensive team. They're going to slow the game down. They're not going to try to, you know, crash the boards. They're going to get back on defense. They're going to do everything right. They don't have a lot of firepower. They don't shoot the three well. So to me, this is an under, a first half under. If I bet Vermont, it would be the first half. I do worry about a little low where they can't score. But to me, this is an under game where there is a gap here between Duke shooting the three, Vermont shooting three. But Vermont is very solid on defense. I just think this is close, ugly, low scoring. When in doubt, go with the under. This is probably my favorite under of the first round here.
Wonderful. And obviously look at the first half unders too. And Duke isn't that high flying team necessarily than they've been. They've been playing some defense. What's interesting about Duke is they have adjusted efficiency in the top 30 on both ends of the spectrum. Duke's the number 8 team. And this is kind of going back to your point of a lot of these are shy. I thought this was a little shy at 11.5 and it's at 12. I took Duke at 11.5 and I'd still do it at 12. I just think that there's too many mismatches. Philip Kowski is a good player. If he gets banged up, yeah, that's a problem. But look at what happened to Duke here. They lost their last game against North Carolina at home. Then they lost to another rival, NC State. If these guys don't have a fire up their ass to perform on Friday, that's a coach problem with John Shire. So I'm believing that they can come back and win this game and possibly by margin. I mean, let's face it, Vermont does not have talent, and they do slow down the game. But the problem is, if they're not playing slow, they can absolutely get blown out, like when they played Virginia Tech and lost by 22 points. You know, that happened. That was really their only big non-conference game. You know, it was – well, they played Bradley and lost by 9, but their biggest win was against Yale, number 84. So I just think there's just too many mismatches. From a full game perspective, I see Duke covering. One of the ones I laid it with. Let's go to the next one. Montana State or Grambling State versus Purdue. I know you texted me Purdue, so I was kind of thinking which one you think they're going to play, or maybe this is just a philosophy type play. I think they're minus 22.5 against Montana State or 24.5 versus Grambling. I'll just throw the total about 150. What do you think about this game?
I'm going to lay it with Purdue no matter who they're playing, pretty much no matter what the line is, if it's in this range, because the thing with laying points, with laying a big favorite, you're worried about, are they going to be focused? We don't have to worry if Purdue's going to be focused. That's one of the more embarrassing losses, one of the more embarrassing performances ever last year in the first round against Fairleigh Dickinson. So they will be completely focused. They will dominate this game. You're not going to catch them napping 2 years in a row. Remember, Virginia, and this comparison's been made plenty, but Virginia lost the first round. They came back last year, or the year after, and won the tournament, won easy in the first round. So no letdown, no lapses, no sleepwalking through this game. Purdue's going to roll. I'll lay it here. I feel like these ones versus the 16s, the ones do well. Again, I'm usually a dog or pass player, but I do think the 1-16s, you get a lot of mismatches, and sometimes those lines are a little light. Like I've been betting this tournament for a long time. I remember the ones versus the 16s, and it goes back to your point of like, There's more balance. These kids don't stay around as long. But I remember the ones versus the 16s where like ones are laying 32, 35, I don't know, 40 in some of these spots. The 23, 24 is a little light. So I think Purdue rolls here.
Are you going to be like Fez and lay $30,000 to win $1,000 this
one? I will not.
Okay. Thank God you're not, because he's gotten way too
unless
close.
Unless you want to let me borrow 30. If you're willing to let me borrow 30 grand, I'll think about it. But other than that, I'm going
to
pass.
Well, I can't borrow to you because you never talk to me again. That's what I'm scared about. So I don't want that to happen, my man. Too good of a guess for that to happen. I mean, to be honest with you, I am scared. This game, you have to start watching this game, because you just have to see where Purdue is. You know, I don't care if you turn it off later because right. They're winning by a ton, but you start watching this one, right?
Oh yeah, if they're down 8-2, it's gonna be must watch. Absolutely, yeah,
for sure. Turn that one on right away. Let's move to the next one: Charleston versus Alabama. Alabama 9.5 total, 173.5. Well, I picked this one because of obviously what I said earlier. I mean, to be honest with you, it's everything I say about Bama. I don't like their away from home metric. They rank 357th on home road splits. That is absolutely terrible. They're a very inconsistent team. They rank 310th in consistency, so you don't know what you're going to get here. Maybe you do get that team that blows away Charleston, but wouldn't it feel a lot better if you have Charleston on a money line situation? Maybe you can hedge it at half or something. I mean, the total's 9.5, and that's kind of telling you that Charleston can possibly hang out with this team. Now, Charleston has some advantages. They rank 49th in adjusted near proximity percentage, and Alabama 152nd at defending it. Charleston can get some fast break points. Bama turns the ball over, not as bad as they did last year, but they do. If the threes are not raining for this Crimson Tide team, they tend to freeze up a little bit. I don't like the efficiency sites overcrediting them for too good of an offense because they play so fast. And that's how these efficiency sites screw up a little bit. Just because they're pounding some poor ass SOB that, you know, doesn't belong playing them, doesn't mean we should keep awarding Alabama. And that's why I like some sites that are statistically final after a certain amount of points. You know, I prefer the fact that Alabama 19th in three-point attempts, 46.8% of their shots are three-pointers. That could be bad if they are not hitting. So I didn't play it yet, but I circled Charleston as a possible play. What are your thoughts?
Yep, haven't played it yet. I feel bad because I missed the 10.5, missed the 10, I hate jumping in on like the second, the third number, but if I do play Charleston, it will be partially plus the points, and I'll probably, you have to sprinkle the money line just because it's such a high variance game. I mean, they might as well roll out the racks with the 3-point shooting like they do in the NBA 3-point shooting contest, because both these teams, that'll be a fun over under. How many 3-point attempts will there be in this game? Because there's going to be a ton, and it just comes down to if they're falling, the game will go one way. If they're not, it'll go another. So when in doubt, take the points, take the money line. And I think this is a good live betting opportunity too. Sometimes you see this in college football where, you know, like Ole Miss is playing LSU and nobody's going to get any stops. You know what? You just live bet it where you can get good numbers on both sides, because you're going to get huge swings, a ton of points where, you know, you can maybe get good numbers on both sides. So this might be a good game to try to middle if you're watching it live, but a lot of variance. I'd still go over, even though it's a ridiculously high number. This is one, this is an under, I'm telling you, I want no part of, and I like the dog here.
Oh, 100%. There's a lot of ways to attack this. I kind of like a first half under and a full total order over. Now, you can wait and bet the over at halftime, and maybe it's 160, 163, 158, something like that. I just think a lot of these teams are going to start slow. So if you like an over, maybe consider betting it at halftime, because that's kind of when these teams really go over, is towards the end of these games. So good call on that. All right. Well, you gave this one for me to go with, and I Longwood versus Houston. I don't know. I think they have a really fun name, Longwood. Laying 24 points, total is 128. It's like, where the heck are you, Longwood? Is this a California school? 24 points is a pretty big spread, but then again, it's Houston, and I've seen Houston beat teams by 50.
Yeah, I'm not a big Houston fan, but I am laying it here again. I got a better number, so, I mean, you're laying the second, third number, this open 22, which is a bad number. This is just a horrendous spot for Longwood to walk into. Houston comes in a bad mood off a dismal performance against Iowa State. Sampson is a tough coach, an old-school coach, where he can take that Iowa State film and rub their nose in it for a week. They can have some hard practices. They can be humbled, and that's bad news for Longwood, because Longwood is just going to get mauled here. I saw 52 for a team total for Longwood. To me, this is a game, if you're not watching, you just look up, and it's like 38-17 with 5 minutes to go in the first half. I just don't think Longwood can score here. Anytime you're laying this big of a number, obviously you're leaving yourself vulnerable to some garbage time stuff. But to me, it's Houston minus the points. It's Longwood team total under, maybe some alternate team totals under too, where you have them like under 45 at jumbo prices. I just think it's going to be very difficult for Longwood to score here.
Yeah, I was thinking Long Beach is against Arizona, and Longwood is the Virginia school playing in this one. So yeah, Houston or nothing for me. I think Houston could, this could be over at halftime, you know, where they're winning by 20 to 30 points. You might want to consider a buyback, because I did lose on Houston this year on a minus 19 spread. I think it was against TCU or somebody like that, where they put in all their scrubs and lost by 1 point, where they're winning by 30, lost by or won by 18. So think about that. You can hedge and possibly middle it as well. But I am totally for laying the points with Houston as well. I'm going to write that down. I'm going to definitely key in on, you know, I bet you this closes more like 26 or 27 too. So you got a great number, and I think it keeps going up.
Yep. And you figure these one seeds jump up early and they're up 10, 4, 12 to 3. If that's the case, boy, that live number is really going to be spiked, where they're going to adjust it accordingly. And you could maybe buy back on Longwood plus the 29.5, plus 30.5. So that goes for any of these dogs that you in the 116, you're going to have some opportunity to buy back at some better numbers if you're trying to middle the game.
Totally, completely agree with you. Grand Canyon versus St. Mary's. St. Mary's minus 5.5, total 131.5. Anything on this one?
Another example where the committee puts in two teams I like and they pit them against each other. Whoever wins, I think, can make a run. I don't know who to pick. I know Grand Canyon is going to be trendy. I just worry, what do your numbers have for the rebounding here? Because I feel like St. Mary's on the glass is just going to be a mismatch here, where St. Mary's can control the glass, get extra possessions, and that would keep me off of Grand Canyon. You know, figure some way St. Mary's wins the game. I don't want to lay it. They play slow. It's always dangerous laying points with St. Mary's, so I guess I take it, but I don't know. The rebounding keeps me away from actually betting it.
Well, the problem with St. Mary's is they lost a couple guys towards the end of the season. Joshua Jefferson,
Jefferson's a big time player, yes.
He's 6'8", and he's done for the season, isn't he? And then Wessels. Now, is Wessels back?
That I don't know.
Okay, because that's where I think would hurt them, and I think their numbers would be off rebounding-wise if that was the case. The other thing about St. Mary's is that they're not a consistent team, and that's why I think a Grand Canyon money line play around the plus 200, plus 210 range isn't a bad play. You already heard that I like Grand Canyon to make the Sweet 16 for the number. I wouldn't bet them at plus 100, but you know, for the number that I got, I kind of like them. You know, KenPom only has St. Mary's losing or winning by 4 points, you know, and this spread seems a little high. I think that things can spin out of control for St. Mary's if they're not rebounding the ball. Grand Canyon shoots a lot of threes. And Grand Canyon is a very motivated, like, run on pure, like, crowd noise. And, you know, Grand Canyon games are nuts here. But, you know, I think unless a lot of St. Mary's people show up, you're going to get a lot of people rooting for Grand Canyon in this venue. So I'm a little concerned about that. And Wessel's managing an arm injury, yet to be seen if he's going to make the tournament. Yeah, it's just one of those situations where I am fading the conference winner. I am fading St. Mary's. I think Grand Canyon wins. I'll put a little bit on the spread, and I'll put a little bit on the money line. Will, that's what I'm thinking for this one. Anything else on Friday that you like?
I think we covered it. Unless I'm honestly, I've been doing so much work on these games, so many hits. I'm getting confused. Who's in what region? Who's in what game? There's a few of them I know, but I don't know if you've come across the same. You're like, one thing I know Michigan State, Mississippi State's the early game. After that, it all kind of runs together. Where I don't know. I guess I'll unless I like update myself on the schedule, I guess I'll see the games as they come up, or you know, check my app and see what game comes up next. I don't have a lot of clarity on which games are when. I know UConn's Friday. I know that Mississippi State, Michigan's Thursday. I mean, there's a few of them I know, but
you can select Thursday games too. You know, anything that you like that stuck out.
I gave you the Longwood team total under, which I really like. I gave you Baylor. I think I gave you everything I like, unless I'm forgetting something. Again, my brain is completely mush because I'm still running on fumes from conference title week. And
oh yeah,
what a conference title week it was between all that basketball, all the upsets. So it's at this point of the tournament, I'm ready for like the smaller slates, which it's weird to say. You know, you think March Madness, oh my God, the craziness, there's games all the time. It's actually a much smaller slate this Thursday and Friday. We're only going to get 16 games compared to like the 60, 70, 80 you got like last Wednesday and Thursday. But no, I think I pretty much covered it. I don't know if I think I pretty much covered it. Some of these I don't have a feel for.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know,
Akron, Akron's playing Creighton. Akron's kind of popular because they're only 110 miles away. And then you know, Duquesne, Baylor. Baylor is only nine and a half. Actually went up a bit, it looks like. Now
Duquesne, BYU. I think that's too many points. I mean, Duquesne doesn't belong to be 11, but that's a ton of points.
Yeah, I love the under in that one for sure. I think, you know, BYU doesn't travel. Their offense doesn't travel, and Duquesne plays slow and doesn't have a great offense. I love the under. 142 is way high, I think, in that one. So I pounded the under on that one. I think a first half and full game under could be a good look for that one. South Carolina versus Oregon. I'm taking South Carolina because I just think South Carolina's got the better. Well, Dana Almond's an amazing coach. I don't think he's ever lost in the first round of the tournament. That's what scares me. But South Carolina, best covering team this year at 23-10. I truly believe that their SEC run was a lot more difficult than what Oregon did. And Oregon, like I said, conference tournament winner. I think they did it all to get here, and now they actually, you know, will let down. And I think so. They also have some disadvantages when they go on scoring droughts because South Carolina slows the game down, 348th in speed. I think that South Carolina is live in this one.
How about Utah State getting 4 against TCU? That's really crept out to the point where I almost have to take some of Utah State on the money line. Were you on the other side? I forget. You gave that game out on Sunday. Were you on TCU here?
I was on Utah State, and I had a bad line at 3.5.
Okay, so yeah, I'm with you here. That's a lot. 4 plus 160. I don't get that one. I'll have to do more digging in terms of, like, I never like to bet a game. Like, even if I like a line, I want to know why the line is what it is. I feel like I'm missing something. This is one I feel like I'm missing something. I don't get why it's 4.
Yeah, why is TCU a big favorite here? TCU is really faltered here. And Utah State, they're in that San Diego State game all the way to the end, and then it was the fouls and the free throws that made that that final look worse than it really was. Yeah, no, I think Utah State's got plenty of advantages against TCU too, down low, and Utah State can rebound. They have some height there. You know, I think Utah State is a solid, you know, they're 48th on KenPom, but, you know, TCU is number 35th. It's not that big of a discrepancy here. Where's this game played at again? I'll look at it. Gainbridge Fieldhouse. So, okay, not a really – Indianapolis is really not going to help either of them. But they both really have to travel. Yeah, Utah State, number 42 in defensive rebounds. They're 38th in adjusted offensive efficiency and 66th on defense. So, you know, they play the game pretty well. TCU plays fast, and they turn the ball over. They rank 238th in turning the ball over. So there you go. If Utah State can turn them over a little bit.
Sure.
And Utah State's better at not turning the ball over, I think they're in this game. Yeah, this is too high. I don't know why it moved against me either, Will. It was one of my head scratchers for sure. So love that.
I do have a free piece of advice for these sports books. Can we please separate the NCAA tournament with the CBI, the NIT? I do not, when I'm looking up the NCAA tournament spreads, I do not need to see Delaware State getting 12.5 against Seattle right under these other NCAA tournament games. Separate them so I can shop more precisely, I think.
100%. You know, what's going on with that? Why do they make it so hard? Some books are smart enough just to go NCAA tournament. You click on that. NIT tournament like that. Or you can have them all if you look. But no, please, make it easier on us. And we will be on your book more often for doing that. So that
100%. I don't want to have to spend 4 minutes looking for something. It should pop up. It should not be a game of hide and seek.
Well, I'm going to give you a play quickly I made tonight. And had a great day yesterday. But I'm going with the whole I thought I was going to make the tournament, but didn't. And now I'm stuck with crappy old NIT type situation.
You got St. Joe's?
I certainly do.
Yeah, I like it.
I took it.
I like it. I don't think you can go wrong. These underdogs on the money line, the NIT, again, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but just from what I can remember, if you hand pick a few of them, usually you do pretty well. It's a high variance, like the bowl game. So I'm with you.
Well, when they get this podcast tomorrow, we'll find out if I hear about it. But let's go with St. Joe's, my man. But hey, well,
I'll throw one in too. How about San Francisco getting 6 and San Francisco plus 215 on the money line?
Why not? San Francisco's live too. San Francisco knew the whole time that they were not going to be in this tournament. And Cincinnati played their ass off in the Big 12 tournament. This could be letdown city for them. So I would look at that and possibly look at the over because, you know, situation where defenses don't travel. And
happy fun time. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I love that. But we also
let's see if we parlay them. What do we get if we parlay them? We'll do a little family parlay here.
Money line or spread?
Money line. Life short. Oh, we're up to plus 250 on San Francisco.
Okay.
And we are plus 275 on St. Joe's. Get over 12-1 on this one.
12.12-1. I like it.
It's not bad. I've made dumber bets. I can promise
let's
you that.
Let's throw a 12-pack of beer on it. Why not? Let's throw a 12-pack of beer on it, see if we can make that 12 packs of beer. So there you go, a 12-pack of beer.
And then if St. Joe's wins and San Francisco has a lead, you know what? We can give a little maneuver to buy back and get some profit. But 12-1, why not?
Well, that'd be great. I mean, we've done well together, Will, and hopefully we can kind of continue that. And I'm sure we'll be texting each other tonight if that thing goes through, having a little celebration drink in our 12 packs ourselves. But man, Will Hill is all over the place. He's amazing. Will, where can our listeners and viewers get your great information in place?
Yeah, I'm on VSiN a few days a week. I host Fridays 10-1 Eastern at night, and then 11-2 Easterns Friday nights. So 11 at night to 2 in the morning, then Saturday night, 10-1 Eastern at night, and then two spots throughout the week. And then the Shoulda Bet More podcast for Go Boys. So, and of course, Fox Bear Bet. So I got a lot of things cooking in the pan. So you can kind of see me. I'm around. Not at the Will Hill on Twitter.
Too. At not the Will Hill because of that dang sports book that's still hanging around. Will, really appreciate all your stuff, man. Thanks so much for coming on. We'll be texting shortly.
All right, let's hit this 12-1.
All right, my friends. Huge thanks to Will Hill for coming on. And quick recap, I might be on Northwestern. I'm just going to watch this one, and no big deal if it doesn't get 3 or 3.5 in some of these books. Will likes Baylor. I like Colgate first half, a little disagreement. So I took Colgate in the first half for 1.5 stars. Clemson, New Mexico is kind of a pass for now. We'll see where that line ends up. I like Duke, and I think Duke rolls at the low number of 12. Purdue, man, Will loves Purdue here, laying a lot of points. But, hey, I'm going to watch this game and see how it goes. But Will is probably on the right side of that one. We're like in Charleston. I didn't bet it yet, but this is a situation where I might be on Charleston. We're both going to be on Houston. Will's got a good number. I think this number keeps going up, so I'll just make that official. I'll take Houston at minus 24, and then we'll have some opportunity to buy back during the game, in my opinion. And I like GCU, baby. GCU plus 5.5, and I like GCU on the money line some. But thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It's March Madness. I really hope you guys win all your brackets, win your bracket challenges, get in our bracket challenges if you have a chance. Really appreciate you listeners out there. If you have any questions for the pod, tweet us at The Oddsbreakers, email us at info@theoddsbreakers.com. I hope you enjoy the first weekend of the NCAA tournament during March Madness, and go get some winners.